It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview. Happy New Year. Welcome to Quantum number 75. And welcome to all those who are new listeners, because there are new ones all the time. And thanks to those who are at the conference down in Belgrave in Melbourne, and the number of people who came up and said that you listen to this or you read the blog. Really appreciated. But as we go into 2020, rather than reflect on just one or two events that have happened in the past week, as we normally do, I want to take the opportunity to look at the wider situation and to look ahead to 2020 and maybe make some predictions. I'm not going to call them prophecies. I'm not claiming they're revealed to me by God. They're just a way of thinking and where I think things will go. Interestingly enough, I think last year I got 7.5 out of 10 right. Let's have a go. We'll start with number one, and that is simply this. I think that climate change hysteria will really ramp up. Now, I think climate change is real, and I think that it probably is the most important issue that we have to face with the impact and the effects of it. We live in a broken world, and that becomes more and more evident, and none more so than here in Australia. Now, one of the problems, and we are going to look at this more and more, is the simplistic reduction that people have in their attitudes. And what I mean by that is there's climate change, there's bushfires in Australia, therefore this is because of climate change, therefore if we reduce our carbon emissions, there will be no more bushfires. It's really not that simple. Listen to this explanation from the BBC trying to say what's going on.
Now, one of the main drivers for this intense heat and these bushfires is something called the Indian Ocean Dipole. And it's been strongly positive this year, one of the strongest that we've ever seen. And it's when we get warmer waters pooling across the western side of the Indian Ocean, inducing more rain. So we've seen 300% of the average rainfall in some parts of the east of Africa and devastating floodings. In contrast to that, cooler water pools further east across the Indian Ocean, so around the waters of Australia, which inhibits the rainfall and it's slowed down the monsoon. What we're seeing. We've also got this secondary issue, the southern annular mode, which is the roaring 40. These strong westerly winds are normally further south across, as you can see, the Antarctic Ocean. But actually, through the latter part of spring, early summer, they've drifted a little bit further northwards. Now, that does happen to time to time, but it just means that we've got stronger westerly winds, dry winds blowing into the eastern side of Australia, exacerbating the bushfires and bringing more dry air and, of course, blowing the smoke into highly populated areas.
Now, I think we need more of that kind of science and more of that kind of understanding. There is an ocean effect here, and there is a winds effect. And in particularly, it's the winds that are causing havoc, even as I record. But I do think we're going to hear a lot more of this. We're going to hear a lot more simplistic solutions where we are. My fear is that we are going to have rich middle class people penalize the poor. And what I mean by that is the poor being prevented from traveling, the poor losing their jobs, the poor paying the brunt of somewhat simplistic solutions. I do hope, however, that the nations of the world will take seriously what is going on and not just virtue signal about it. Okay, prediction number two. I think the backlash against the trans agenda will intensify. It really has to, because it has got absolutely berserk.
Trans Pride is here to give family to people like us. Trans men are men!
Trans men are men!
Trans women are women!
Trans women are women!
Non-binary is valid!
Non-binary is valid!
Trans rights are human rights!
Trans rights are human rights!
Now, what's happened is that those who basically are in charge of our culture and the corporations, the media, and largely academia, and to some extent the politicians in Western countries, have bought into this rather bizarre and really strange queer theory ideology. But more and more there's a pushback against it, not least from feminists, because of the fact that it destroys women. J.K. Rowling's tweet at the end of last year is, I think, a straw in the wind of how things are going to go. I think you're going to find as more and more women are penalized in sport because men are taking their place, as there are no longer women's toilets, there'll continue to be male toilets, and then there'll be mixed gender toilets and things like that. And that may appear to be a trivial issue, but it's not a trivial issue, because it's the idea of women having safe spaces. And I do think the pushback against this is going to continue. I think the Scottish government, for example, and the UK government will be in deep trouble if they continue to put forward their gender recognition acts. This really is a form of child abuse, state-sponsored child abuse. And again, what happened last year, I think, will intensify this year. We'll become more and more aware of those who realize they've been abused and who wish to detransition. We'll see where all that goes. Number three is China. China's going to dominate the news again in different ways. I think from the church's point of view, the persecution against Christians is going to be something that will intensify. Just at the end of the year there, the Early Rain Church pastor Wang Yi was sentenced to 9 years in prison. There is going to be a period of great persecution and probably great blessing for the Chinese church and from the Chinese church. Think Hong Kong is an ongoing situation. The China Sea is an ongoing situation. China is going to predominate much of our news. By the way, I apologize for my voice. I was speaking at a conference in Melbourne, the Belgrave Heights Conference. Absolutely loved it, but I gave 7 talks and 3 seminars in a short, relatively short period of time, so my voice is a bit worn. Number four issue is the issue of anti-Semitism. Now, that wasn't just to do with the British election. It's something that is prevalent in increasingly in the United States, where it is both left and right who become anti-Semitic in some areas. It's prevalent in France. It's prevalent in some areas of Europe. It still remains a massive issue in the United Kingdom and was a significant factor in the defeat of the Labour Party. Israel itself, of course, will continue to be an issue. Netanyahu has asked for immunity from prosecution, which he will likely be granted by the Knesset. And of course, that's not a good thing either. And we need to keep an eye on, obviously, what happens in the Middle East, what happens in Israel. Number five, President Trump will be re-elected. I don't think he's going to be impeached or thrown out by the Senate. I think the impeachment process works against the Democrats. Unless they can come up with a really good candidate, I suspect that Trump, because of the relative success of the economy and because of the same factors that brought him into power, I suspect he will still be president at the end of this year. Now, there are some for whom that's a tremendous thing, and there are others for whom that's perceived as being an appalling thing. One of the sad things this year has been watching how the American church has split over support for or against Donald Trump. What does that have to do with the church? It seems to me that the church has been played by politicians on both sides, and we should, to some extent, remain aloof from that. It may be that individual Christians will say, well, we prefer President Trump to Clinton or whoever's going to come. But it is not for the church to be endorsing candidates, and it's not for the church to put itself on one political side or the other. But I do think he'll be re-elected. Number six, Iran and the US will come close to war. Now, you heard at the end of 2019 that the American embassy in Baghdad in Iraq was attacked. Most commentators believe it was at the instigation of Iranian leaders that this occurred.
The Iranian regime organized these protesters, I think in an act of desperation, to try to drive a wedge between the United States and the Iraqi people. In fact, that demonstration in front of the embassy is exactly what the Iraqi people are tired of. They're tired of Iran interfering in Iraq and seeking to dominate Iraq in the way that Iran has tried to dominate Lebanon. And so the situation there now is calm, and we're working well with the Iraqi security forces who've dispersed the terrorists and some of these militia members.
I think that Iraq and Iran is a tinderbox waiting to explode. And I think that if American citizens are attacked, and if American troops are attacked, and more American troops have just been ordered into Iraq, then there is the real potential of significant conflict, if not war, between Iran and the US. And again, it seems as though it's the Middle East that is the center for this. Of course, we don't forget the situation in Syria, or the situation in Lebanon, or the situation in Turkey. We pray for peace. Number seven. It's a big year in Scotland.
As we celebrate the start of 2020 and a new decade, we look forward to a year in which Scotland will be at the centre of international attention. In November, the United Nations Climate Change Summit in Glasgow will attract more than 30...
I think that the trial of Alex Salmond beginning at the end of this month will be hugely significant. And again, I'll go out on a limb here. I will be very surprised if Nicola Sturgeon is still in place by the end of the year. There are significant fault lines within her government. They are covered up very well. The press, I think, is fairly supine when it comes to criticising and critiquing the Scottish government. I think that there are undergoing issues. There are political issues such as the NHS and education, the whole Brexit things. I think that there'll be a tremendous fuss about Scottish independence, and the vote will not happen. It certainly won't happen this year. I doubt it will happen within the next 5 years. Sturgeon is like the Grand Old Duke of York. She's led her 10,000 men and women up the hill and marched them down again and led them up again and marched them down again. And I do question how long she can survive. Number eight, Britain will leave the EU. At least at the end of this month, we will officially leave. Then there'll be a transition period and very little will change. We will hardly notice it. However, I think the mood music and the opportunities that could exist. Now, I think the EU is going to really play hardball in terms of trade deals, as it always does. And it may be that Boris Johnson will be all bluff and bluster. But if he's not, then there is a real possibility of, I think, of two things. One of a significant decline in the UK, but the other is a significant increase in the UK. And who knows which way it will go. My own belief is that the ongoing situation in France, the continuing refugee crisis, the economies of Italy, Greece, and to some extent Spain, will mean that the EU is heading for more and more trouble. I suspect those who are at the heart of the EU will really want it to be a United States of Europe, will be looking to have a European army, and now that Britain is gone, there's very little to prevent that happening. Number nine. Apart from the trans issue, I think that euthanasia will be the buzz issue for progressives in the West. It's the one where they get most public sympathy. And it's the one which at one level they seem to have a more significant case, although I would argue that they don't. But I am absolutely certain that euthanasia does not just mean those who are within months of dying, wishing to die a pain-free death. I think it will mean, as has happened in Belgium and the Netherlands, that you'll get euthanasia for a wide variety of reasons, including economic. There is a case in Canada just now, Canada, who really are insanely progressive, where a hospice who are there to care for the dying is refusing to offer euthanasia. And it looks as though the Canadian government are going to penalize them for doing that. There's no such thing as freedom of religion or the Hippocratic Oath or freedom of practice within Canada. Progressive societies, as we have said many times, are the least liberal and the most authoritarian, out with maybe except for communist or fascist societies. But as Canada is proving, and as we will see in other jurisdictions, there is pressure that is put on. And euthanasia, when it is accepted and adopted, it is a slippery slope. And we have, for the sake of the weak, for the sake of the poor, for the sake of the elderly, for the sake of the disabled, we have to fight it. Number 10. I think the decline in the church in the West will continue, particularly in America. The American church has this problem of being large and having a number of significantly large churches, having enormous resources, which I think that they will fight over. But overall, I think the church will continue to decline for various reasons. One is because it's too attached to its own wider culture, which is going downhill. Secondly, because it's too tied up with American politics. And thirdly, because there's far too much nominalism. And once it's no longer trendy, and once any kind of genuine persecution comes in, I think you will see a falling away before, hopefully, a renewal. Sadly, I think in Scotland, the decline will continue in the Church of Scotland and elsewhere. In the United Kingdom, the Church of England lurches from bad to worse, and who knows how many people will remain within it. I'm not sure what will happen in Australia, because in Australia, we're not as far down the road as other churches in the West. And it may be that in areas like Western Europe, there will be a renewal in the church. I mean, it's already gone so low, it's hard to conceive of it going lower other than extinction. But I do want to leave you with this. O church, arise. O church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith. I think there are causes for great optimism. Now, there's an article in the Times which said, ignore the pessimists, there's never been a better time to look on the bright side of life. And it talked about the reduction in poverty in the world. It talked about the increase in lifespan. It talked about better living conditions. And you know, all these things are true. There's a tendency for us to be doom and gloom, and I would suggest that that's not correct. However, the Times article tends to focus almost entirely on economic conditions. And I think we need to look beyond that. And there's both reason for pessimism. The world is worse than we think. But also reason for optimism. I think the world is better than we think. And I think there's reasons for optimism as regards the church. Now, I don't mean in this way. I get a little concerned about Christians who will say, yes, yes, it's really bad, but we've got a word from the Lord that revival's just coming around the corner. Now, why do they say that? Have they really had a word from the Lord, or is it the fact that they just want it to be true, or they long for it to be true? Now, longing for it to be true and wanting it to be true isn't the same as saying it is going to happen. And I think sometimes Christian leaders go peace, peace when there is no peace, or revival, revival when there is no revival. But nonetheless, I do sense that, you know, God does amazing things. When you think things are about to collapse, they don't. And sometimes there's the most amazing renewal and revival. And that is what we long for. And just as I feel that with the trans issue, there's a kind of turning, I think within the wider communities, particularly in Western countries, because I think the church will continue to grow in Africa and Asia. But I think in Western countries, it may be that 2020 and 2021 will be years of opportunity for evangelism and outreach such as we've not seen for the past 20 years. I hope that's true. Oh, church, arise and put your armor on. We need to do that, whatever. Well, I hope you've had a great new year. We'll be back to normal Quantum next week. May God bless you. And if you wish to support us, by the way, I saw that Podbean had said that we're one of their top supported podcasts. So feel free to continue to support us. But, and if you've got news and information, I know that people listen to this from all over the world, please do send us stuff. I can't use it all, but I will try and use some of it. And it's good to have stuff from what I would call troops or reporters on the ground. God bless you as you go into the new year. May you know his peace. May you know his grace. And may this be a year of opportunity and renewal for us all.
Come see the cross where love and mercy meet, as the Son of God is stricken, and see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror.